A warning. This podcast contains some f***ing bad language.
Just like David Tua's lack of proper spelling while on nationwide television.
Oh, for awesome.
True stories. Your stories. Your fuck-ups. Jim Cawthorn presents The Fuck Up Files.
Okay, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on the time that you're listening into this podcast right now. Welcome to The Fuck Up Files, your horror fest and manifesto of cringy memories that we bring back up to share and dive into, aka the podcast that analyses your good old fuck up. With me, as always, pushing the buttons on the other side is producer Ryan. A good fuck up to you, my sir.
G'day, mate.
G'day.
Halfway through the series, The Fuck Up Files series.
Yeah.
This is episode 5, and it's a slightly different episode today. Not the usual format that we've kept throughout the rest of the series.
No, we thought we'd change, because usually the format goes, I share a story, then we hear from you, the listener. You, of course, can be part of this as well, which if you'd like to be part of the podcast, just text Jim and briefly your story to 3520, and then we can get back to you, la-di-da-di-do. And then also we hear from a special guest as well, then they share their story. But this episode, because Angela Dravid is who we interviewed. How long ago was that?
It would be a couple of months ago. Angela, of course, is a great comedian. Used to
Very
be on Jono and Ben.
Yeah.
It would be, pulling the curtain back, a couple of months ago when the Comedy Fest was going on.
Yes, it was too, actually. Her story, however, was so good and so compelling that we didn't want to, I guess we didn't want to hinder it, especially with my bullshit yarn that I had at the start. I can't remember what my story was. And I guess, too, we didn't want to edit it down any further because we're just, well, I mean, it's a side to Angela you wouldn't expect.
No, and it's a subject matter that you're going to find, I think, really interesting. Something you wouldn't know a lot about.
Especially her point of view of how she tells it, too. You're like,
exactly.
Okay, this is a... So, without further ado, here we go. Episode 5 right now. This is Angela Dravid.
So in the UK, I was arrested for attacking my ex-husband.
For what? Attacking?
Attacking him, yeah.
Unpack that briefly, though, for those who don't know.
Okay,
that story.
So when I was 19, I ran away from my family in Australia to meet this man I met in an internet chat room.
And what was the chat room? Just
it was a classical music chat room.
How good.
Classical music?
Yeah.
What do you do there? You just talk about classical music?
We do, yeah. And we played classical music.
So you're obviously trained in a classical musical
instrument? I was a really bad violinist. I used to sing.
Awesome.
Oh, bloody good stuff. So, okay. But obviously, he turned out to be a complete douchebag.
I think I was a douchebag. I attacked him and then I dared him to call the police and he did. And that took me by surprise. So I ended up being in prison for 2 months.
So what did you attack him with, just very quickly?
A photograph of his ex-wife.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Hang on, so you did 2 months?
Yes, on remand. So I was waiting for a sentence.
I would not have expected that from you, Angela.
Yeah, no one does.
What was that experience like?
I really enjoyed prison. It was really like, I don't know, I felt like I'd met nicer people who came from similar backgrounds. It was probably the first time I'd met another brown person in Brighton. Diversity there.
They're so buzzing. Because you hear prison yarns and it's just like, I had to get the fuck out of there. It was awful.
I was young, so I think people were treating me like their daughter or their sister.
Yeah, take you under their wing.
Wow.
Yeah, so I found it really nurturing.
So how long, 2 months were you in there?
2 months, and then I was granted bail to a halfway house.
Yeah.
I asked the warden if I could stay.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I wouldn't say it's a life dream that I've wanted to go there.
No.
But it wasn't as bad as I had expected.
Wow.
Although So it was just, I found it a little bit like being in the paddy wagon was the start of a road trip movie for me. It was just really exciting.
That's such a good way of looking at shit.
Well, because like there used to be scratchings on the back of the seat that used to have people tagging like Sarah was here in 1995, 96, 97, 98.
Did you tag your name there?
No, I didn't. I just took it all in.
Sarah was here all these years.
Yeah.
Do you reckon prison would be completely different here over...
I think so.
Better or worse?
Probably worse. The prison that I was at was renovated and it was privately owned.
All right.
So it was still kind of new.
Yeah.
But also I think my experiences were better because I'd run away and I didn't have any friends or family. And this
the age
the first
thing
time.
As well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My ex-husband was 30 years older than me.
Yeah. So. Shit.
First time I'd met, yeah, people my own age.
Wow.
Well, actually, I met one of the girls that I, my first day in prison, I ended up being, there was not enough space in the, like, remand ward, so I ended up being in the rehab centre, the detox ward.
Mm.
And that's kind of, like, shocking, because I had never seen anyone on drugs, let alone recovering off it.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah. The lifers ward was probably the most peaceful, I think, because, like, when you're given a life sentence, you come to terms with it, so it's just, like, you carry on with your day.
Mm. And these are people that would have done murder, horrific crimes, the lifers one. And they were the most peaceful people.
Yeah. I think that they were the people that probably held the place together.
Really? So you weren't intimidated as fuck by these people?
I was intimidated by a woman who was pregnant.
Yeah.
The concept of someone being in prison and pregnant was so weird to me. They kept staring at her. And it was over dinner. And she just, like, threw her plate on the table and was like, "Stop fucking staring at me."
Jesus.
So
about 3 years. So when you're 19, you did 2 months, you would have been, when you got out?
I came back to New Zealand when I was 23.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How was that adjusting from that kind of very regimented style of living, which you enjoyed by the sound of it? How was that going back to little old New Zealand and obviously staying with your dad? Is your mum or dad that's in New Zealand?
Mum.
Mum in New Zealand.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of strange. I think I'm not sure if you're mixed race, but I felt like I was living five lives.
Yeah.
Like I was living life as an Indian, Samoan, New Zealander, a convict, immigrant. Like it just felt like I was living all these different lives, and it was kind of hard to... the biggest contrast was trying to work a stable job.
Yeah.
And also go back to a bail hostel at night.
Yeah.
See, because would you find... I mean, because when did you get into comedy?
About four years ago.
So leading up to that, what were you doing for work? Did you struggle to find work because convictions or no?
I just never talked about it. But I guess, like, no one assumes you have a conviction unless you bring it up.
Well, that's true. You do see, you apply for a job. Have you got any convictions? I mean, depending on the job, I guess. So would you, not that I'll say that, would you recommend jail, but...
I think for some people, jail might be the thing that provides stability in an unstable life.
Yeah.
And I think for others, it can be a wake-up call to changing your life as well. I think there's positives. There's definitely, like, negatives, but I think the negatives come from society's view of prison and prisoners.
Yeah, completely.
I think if we looked at it as a... like, we don't look at dog schools as, like, being for... dogs who you just give up on. We look at them for dogs we want to incorporate back in our lives. Because I had these horrible feelings, and I remember this woman in jail told me, like, there's no difference between us and people outside. The only difference is we got caught doing a crime. The others didn't. Exactly. But everyone's committing a crime. We were just the ones that were caught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is somebody out there who has committed the ultimate crime and has gotten away with it, but you just don't know who it is.
Yeah, which is why we need to make this podcast bigger.
There we go. All right. Tell your friends. Tell your family. And that is, holy shit, I'm not going to lie, that is one of the most interesting chats I've had on this podcast.
I don't know if I finished the story.
Oh, fuck, sorry. Okay, sorry.
I'm always wrapping you up.
Yeah. I am. Sorry.
It's not that interesting a story. Yeah, I actually went out and I saw the time and it was like 10:25. And the problem is if you miss curfew, you go straight to court the next day and you're sentenced back to prison, basically. Yeah. So I was out
for how long for would you be sentenced back?
So my sentence was 8 months.
So if you missed your curfew, you'd be 8 months back in prison?
Yeah. So, like, it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
So I just got all the girls, like, rounded up, paid the bill and taxied home. But we had to be on the premises in our rooms and stuff. So I actually, I was really scared about it. I was drunk as well. I was pushing the girls up into their room and their beds. And I thought I did all right. Anyway, I got back into my room and stuff, vomited on the door.
Oh, God.
Because I didn't know how to open the door when I was drunk. Like,
it's like when you go out for dinner when you're hammered drunk and you're like trying to use a knife and fork. You're like, what the fuck am I?
It's kind of like when you pull your pants down too fast when you need to pee and you forget that you haven't actually taken the underwear off. And you just... it just goes straight into your underwear and you're like, oh no. But yeah, I fucked up in that I was a little bit late, but the next morning they didn't make me go to court. They made me look at the footage,
watching
the
yourself.
CCTV footage of pushing people up, and that was more horrifying.
So what did they say to you? So obviously, did they rely like this? This time, because we kind of think this is funny as fuck.
Because I've been in the hostel, I think, by this point, 3 years.
Yeah.
So it was like, I think I was a pretty good model prisoner.
Yeah. It'd be one of those things, you'd be like, look, it'd be such a shame. She's been here for 3 years. She's been pretty good. It'd be such a shame to just let her go back to prison because of this bullshit. So what time, how late were you getting in?
I think I just got in maybe 5 or 10 minutes late.
Oh, okay. So yeah. they've obviously just turned a blind eye.
Yeah, it seemed like they did. Yeah.
It's nice that they are human in that sense. They can actually identify people that aren't maybe more susceptible to reoffending or whatever. So sorry, you were in the UK when all this
was
happening.
In the UK.
Sorry. And then you came back to New Zealand after that.
Mm. Well, I think you kind of want people who have empathy in those positions as well.
Oh, definitely,
because they also make people like me willing to come back out into society. I feel like some of the best people I met in prison, the first feminist I met was in prison.
Yeah.
She was there for shoplifting, and she told me that she was like, look, I shoplift because I need to pay my bills and shit, but I shoplift tampons and pads because I don't think I need to buy it. And I was like, I think...
To be honest, you're a hero. No, you're right. Women shouldn't have to pay for that. You're dead right. That is an interesting yarn. I would say up there is the most interesting yarns we've had on this podcast.
Well, it's so good, and it's an insight which not many people are going to get to experience or hear about. And for me, it's like the people that actually look after you, like the guards and that you're talking about, you forget that they're human as well.
Yeah.
And it actually sounds like they're good people.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Some of the ex-military, like, officers, you're a little bit like, I don't think this is good for you.
Yeah.
There is a lot of power to it. And there was some, I remember we were waiting for, we had to get medicals done. Part of the admin is getting a medical.
Yeah.
In the waiting room, and this guy just was jangling the keys in front of us the whole day. And he was like saying, don't you feel shit that you have to wait for someone like me to open the doors
what
for you?
What a fuckwit.
And I said, I think this is why I got on well with other people, is because I had a bit of a mouth, was... don't you feel shit that your day job is opening for people, opening doors for people like us all day?
What did he say to that?
He, like, the whole, like, everyone else just, like, laughed and shut up. He was stuck there.
Do you think that, like, moments, like, is that where you've sort of moved into comedy because of shit like that?
No, I started comedy because I had a fear of talking. I had a boss who I found quite intimidating, and she said that I made people feel uncomfortable in meetings.
Really?
In client meetings.
What type of job?
I was, so the job that I was at was a cross between a brothel and an office. I lent out my services and admin to people who were renting our office.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'd have to go in and say, hello, is there any work I can do for you? I'm capable of doing this and this and this and this. But I often went in there and I'd just smile. Like, oh no, when you're ready, I can wait. I wanted to get better at speaking, and I did comedy for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
To be honest, I think it's one of the few we've had that there's no real... I don't think there's really a fuck up in this.
No.
In this whole story. You haven't told me one that's like a complete, what a blowout.
Apart from the fact that you're just a little bit late getting into your dorm.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a fuck up. The other like resort story I had was I did the 24-hour movie marathon a couple of years ago. Just before the lights went out.
Hang on, just quick. What's the 24-hour movie marathon?
The Hollywood Theatre in Avondale does like every year it does 24 hours of movies.
So it could literally be anything from, say, Gone with the Wind to Terminator 2.
Yes, but that's part of the thrill of it. It's a curated, like, it's sometimes they have premiere screenings of shows or of films that haven't come out yet.
Yeah.
So I did this 24-hour movie marathon. I was sitting next to a friend and we were talking about threesomes. And I said, I don't think, I know that there's a fantasy of having a threesome with twins, but I feel weird, like knowing that the twins know that they're related.
Yeah.
Do you know, can I just interrupt you quickly? I used to, when Dunedin, there used to be a set of twins that would hook up with one another, two chicks, because they thought it was a great...
Why don't they just look in the mirror and kiss that? It's the same thing.
I mean, they weren't identical, but, you know, like, I mean, I heard they rumors they did it once or twice, but the one I saw it, everybody was like, are you guys related? This is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Just because you look the same doesn't make incest sexy.
Yeah, not at all. Sorry, going back to your threesome with twins.
Yeah, so I was having this conversation with this guy, and then the guy next to me overheard me, and he said, oh, I'm a twin. And then I said, would you fuck your twin? And he was like, no. And then the lights went down, and I was stuck next to him for 24 hours.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, my God. Do you know that I'm a twin as well?
Really?
And I would not fuck. No! Ugh. No way. But as a chick, would you be like,
oh, hurry up, mate. What have we learned?
I don't. Okay, yeah, fair. All right, I'm not gonna keep digging this grave even further. Hey, Angela Dravid, what have you learned?
About
this whole chin wag we've just had.
I just think, yeah, fuck ups don't define you, and they make you a better person, and embrace them, and they're entertaining.
They are.
Absolutely.
They Jimbo? Are. Yeah, no, well, Tom Furness said the same thing. You're going to fuck up, embrace it, because it's a hilarious part of life. And that's, I don't know, there wasn't those exact words, but it was something like that, and I thought, that's a good way to sum it up, and you've just done that. Well done.
Cool.
Hey, thank you,
Thank you so much. Amazing, amazing story.
Thank you very much. These are the Fuck Up Files. We'll be back again, no doubt. You can follow the whole podcast itself up on Rover, R-O-V-A. Is he spelled Rover, not like the dog, R-O-V-E-R. And you too, don't forget as well, can be part of the podcast. Give them the spiel, Ryan.
Yes, if you want to get on the podcast, Jim to 3520. Tell us about your blowout. Thank you, Ange.
Thank you.
Do people call you Ange?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, that's awesome. Right. I sound too formal. Thank you, Ange. Thank you, producer Ryan, as always, pushing the buttons. And I'll be back again another day.